Thank you all for standing by. At this time, I would like to inform you that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Okay, thank you. So at the moment, I think in terms of attendance, we've got Marilyn, Mara, myself, Aubrey, and Glenn on the line. Anyone else joined us since then?
No one else.
Okay.
And you have the people of Victoria and Mike Village.
Right. And hopefully they'll join us at some point, or they'll just have to follow up with listening to the recording, and I'll certainly talk to them. So we've got this three and a half week task that basically in terms of an agenda just I sent out, but I had basically, I had meeting prologue, taking roll, which I just sort of did. Then there was interest statements. Glenn, do we need to do another set of interest statements on this? Or is the one
I shouldn't imagine so, Avery, because this is a subgroup of the reserved names group.
So the fact that we did them in reserved names is sufficient. Should anybody join the group that isn't in reserved names, then we can ask them to do it.
Yes, and also perhaps if they want to update their statements for the
anything particularly relevant here. Okay, so if anybody's got anything particularly relevant to controversial names that they want to add to their interest statement, please do so. Okay, in terms of the agenda, I have review the statement of work, then review or at least mention the relevant parts of the reserved names report, identify the relevant parts of the GAC report to this, identify any relevant parts of the IDN report, then basically figure out how we're going to do our work and make a plan for doing it.
It's Marilyn. So we're starting from where the previous group left off in doing that, yeah?
Yeah. There's additional concerns in things that came out of the IDN or the GAC report.
Right.
But yes, we're starting from where it was left off.
Okay.
And relevant parts, I had the reserved names because that is the starting point.
Good. I'm just verifying that because I'm digging around to find my copy of it. Thanks.
I did put the URLs in the
mail.
The mail, so it's possible. So anyhow, on the SOW, and I included the relevant part in the email I sent, it was review GAC principles. Okay, we need to do that. We need to consult with the GAC as possible. I like the way that was written. As one of the things that was mentioned, and I guess another one of these meetings, and I forget whether it was the RN meeting itself or the 1-2 letter meeting, that we've had a consultation with GAC. They're pretty good at giving general principles that they agree to in consensus, but if we want interpretation, then we may be able to get some help from them, but probably not. And certainly if we want details, then, that probably won't happen. We can, though, certainly approach various members of the GAC, especially Bill D, who's been chairing parts, and ask questions. But I think they gave us a lot of good hints in terms of, words to look at, things like guarantee versus support or promote. So, in other words, I think we've got, what to work with, but if we need to consult with them, then consider the possibility of creating a disputed name list, not a reserved name list, that would be updated when other controversial names are rejected and would be used for guideline purposes only. And I guess these would be the warnings. Pick one of these names, and you're going to be in the slow track process. Restate recommendations in the RN working group report for possible use in the new GTLD evaluation process, not as reserved names. I'm not quite sure I understand that one.
Oh, that's because this is one of the categories that is not, we're doing work to complete the, and contribute to the new GTLD report, but these will not actually be reserved names. They'll be in a different category than reserved.
And yet, still different than disputed, or is this bear on the disputed? That's what I'm not clear of.
Disputed would be one of the labels that we might apply to them. Reserve names were probably going to end up, as I understand it, Avery, and I contributed to this, so I think I understand it.
I contributed too, but I'm not sure I do. So.
The idea that I want to, a reserve name is a prohibited name. That's different than a disputed name or a controversial name.
Yes.
So a prohibited name, you can't release a prohibited name. There might be a procedure that's put in place to individually release a prohibited category, but generally it's on the reserve list. It would go into every GTLD registry agreement, and it's an across-the-board reservation, or at least broad reservation, right? While the process we're contributing to is to try to figure out how to deal with disputes, controversy, lack of clarity. I'm kind of struggling now with other examples.
Okay.
But the names aren't...
basically, so it is, okay, well, I think where I was getting confused is I was thinking this is something other than what was described as the disputed name list, but it really isn't.
It's just that...
there may be different characters on this other than disputed name.
Right, because we may contribute to the creation of a disputed name, but the process is also going to enable dealing with a name that comes up all by itself, and people go, that one's got a problem because it's a religious name, or it's this, or it's that. And the question is, what is the process to clarify or clear out the that?
Okay.
That's what I think we're doing.
Yeah, okay. Although I get concerned because then we get into some of the other discussions that have come up of creating the a priori table of prohibitions, and that's problematic as a...
except I thought the point was you might be able to pry a name off out of this category.
Yes, if you do it with suspicion clause, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, continue to go through. There's describe the process flow, and I think this is one thing that sort of contributes within the new GTLD process, the whole, if I'm understanding it correctly, the whole how do the challenges or concerns about proposed names get dealt with. And I believe that's the process flow we're talking about here.
Right, whether we're creating something like the R step, but with different characteristics.
Right. So
or
you can make a recommendation on that.
Or three, a process which has categories that have, because the R step has different kinds of experts in it. Yeah.
And it's up to the chair to pull out the, I forget whether he uses three or five on a particular issue, but to pull out the ones from his large stable of experts, the appropriate ones to the issue being discussed.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's a good starting model. We'll need to look at it. Then the next was, as part of that, provide examples. So in addition to the flow, which is sort of an explicit definition to sort of give a work through a couple examples, if you get this name, if you get that one. Then incorporate any relevant comments from the IDN working group report, which we'll get to. Provide a brief rationale in support of the recommendations referring to the role of the category as applicable. So yeah, we got to explain what we're suggesting. F, edit other texts of the individual subgroup report as applicable to conform with the fact that controversial names will not be considered reserve names. Okay, that makes sense.
And that's probably going to be quick to do, I think.
Right, but we can probably do that at the end once we've figured out.
Yep.
It's kind of like writing an abstract once you've finished the document. And then finalize guidelines for any other additional work as necessary.
So, you know, I just sort of think there's probably it's probably G, somewhere in here, there's the need to assess the low-hanging fruit and see whether we quickly can see that we can conclude some things and not others. Because it may take time to develop the guidelines for the additional work. And if we spend all of our time working and then all of a sudden we find ourselves kind of the night before realizing, well, we've got to write a process to complete additional work. So maybe we need to just flag that somehow.
I guess I'm not as confident that there is any low-hanging fruit at this point.
Well, I'm not either. I was.
I think the lowest-hanging fruit is the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
the process, whose phone is making all that static? Is it me? I don't think so. The process has certain issues to be resolved, but they're separate from the identity of any name. And if we can come up with a process, then we've achieved something, even if we've only covered a couple of the types, and that then tells us what other work we have to do. If we can't come up with a process that is acceptable to the members of the group, then anything we say about the rest of it is relatively
mm-hmm.
irrelevant, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as I think, I look at this and I see our main task as creating a process that takes into account all these aspects of controversial names.
Well, so let me pull out two activities. You know, we can walk. Maybe we could walk through the GAC principles, for instance, at least one time today, and figure out if we have specific questions to go to the GAC. Then,
That was one of the next things I had on the agenda.
Yeah, but I was just going
to
see if there was
were relevant to us.
Yeah,
I think only one or two of them are actually.
Yeah. So actually, F is probably something right we need to do. Maybe rather than leaving it to the end, that might be something to ask a couple of members of the subgroup to see if they could provide a markup for the next meeting. So that's,
well, okay,
kind of,
that's one of the things that we need to get to also in the work method.
Okay.
Whether we're actually going to have next meetings or try to do everything on the list.
Okay.
And because with only 3 weeks to do work, and the number of meetings that are crowding into things, one of the things I was going to suggest is that we have this start-off meeting, and then we basically work on the list, producing things, and then have another meeting at the end to review and discuss. And so if we can sort of parcel out the work, which will be difficult to do because only half of the group members are here, actually a little bit more than half, 3 out of 5, but, you know, and then basically work on stuff iteratively on a list or actually in terms of producing a plan, perhaps getting it in on a, you know, whatever we used in Who Is, just a common editing thing, a common work management. But anyway.
Aubrey, I don't...
I'm trying to schedule meetings at this point with the crunch of meetings.
I hear you, but I think you need to be thinking about a minimum of 3 meetings. Because there needs to be a final meeting where we just approve everything, right?
But that can also be done on mailing list after the meeting where we had discussion.
If everybody in the subgroup is as comfortable as you are in only using online.
Yes, but it's also in a subgroup like this, hopefully we can educate ourselves to be, as I say, finding time to schedule meetings in the next 3 weeks is going to be murderous. There's such competition for meeting time, but we can leave that open. I know Mike is as comfortable as I am. I'm not sure about Victoria. Tamara, are you comfortable with the online working method?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Are you, Marilyn?
Not at this point until I see what kind of interaction we're going to have. I lived through in the last subgroups people changing documents, not with the full group, but trying to change documents because they weren't face-to-face and they were negotiating by sending in changes to the chair, and so they didn't actually work compromises out. And I think that's an important thing for a subgroup to do.
Yeah, I've seen that too. So,
no, obviously I don't think we can do that. But I don't know, especially when you can only get 3 out of 5 people to face-to-face. I don't think face-to-face or phone are actually inclusive either, simply because...
No, I hear you, and we probably spend enough time on that.
Right. Okay. Obviously, if we need extra meetings, we'll do them.
And Avi, our final drop-dead date is the May the 10th. That is to the full working group, or that's it completely?
I believe that's it completely.
Which means our date to the full working group is before that.
Probably, yeah. And we haven't gotten that date from Chuck yet. So I'm not sure how all that is working.
Glenn, I think that date was discussed on... something tickles the back of my mind that it was discussed because there needed to be a final walkthrough by the full group. Can you try to recapture that particular point and just update it by email?
Of the reserve names working group?
Yeah, because Chuck, I think, made the point that there has to be an opportunity for everybody to, you know, walk through all the recommendations, which would mean we would need to get our document in maybe, Avi, I don't know how much earlier, but certainly earlier.
Yep.
I'll have a look for you now.
Or if Aubrey's okay even after the fact, but just, you know.
Yeah, no, we'll have to figure. I mean, at the moment, the timing on this is ridiculously short. And trying to do something reasonable in this ridiculously short time is interesting. But anyway. To go back to the relevant parts of the IRN report, I think basically they're table 0.8 and they're appendix K, which is the table that reflects controversial names. And the appendix, which is the discussion of those.
So that's from page 124. Page 124 is appendix K, and table 08 is page 32, okay?
Okay, is it worth walking through those at the moment?
Probably.
The completion date, for the reserve names working group is Monday, 10 May.
Right. Glenn, when did Chuck plan to have final review of all of the draft reports so the full committee can walk through all of them? Maybe that hasn't been planned yet.
I don't think there are dates for that because... in the working group statement of work, there is no date put to that. It's just the schedule is restart Wednesday, 11 April, completion date Monday, 10 May.
So could I just ask maybe, Avi, if you as the chair or Glenn, if however you want to do this, if you could outreach to Chuck and ask him.
Yeah, no, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so going through the controversial names just quickly, it was something that qualified as a TLD under prevailing string criteria. It did not fall into any other reserve name category, and it's disputed for reasons other than some other reserve name category or prior legal rights of others. So, now... On the ASCII, the proposal to create a category called, controversial names for use at the top level only. A label that is applied for would be considered controversial if during the public comment phase of the new GTLD application process, a label becomes disputed by a formal notice of a consensus position from an ICANN advisory committee or ICANN supporting organization. And otherwise meets the definition of controversial names as defined above.
So, it's Marilyn, I have a comment on that. As I read the GAC principles, they did not limit the objection to a consensus position, and I was in this group previously. I'm not actually sure that it's going to be feasible to restrict this, because there's no process provided for here where a group outside of ICANN would be able to object. And it's feasible that a string would be proposed that a non-ICANN-involved group would have a very legitimate reason to object to.
Okay, now certainly we do have to look at the GAC position, that yes, they want any single country able to object. Although, they don't specifically say that. What they really say is that when a specific country goes to the board, they want the board to listen to them and respond. They're not necessarily saying that in a public comment period, they want that privilege. So, and also, it's definitely one that we have to think about, but I don't know that we immediately need to say, oh, therefore, any country who's a member of GAC is sufficient. But we certainly do have to look at that, you're right. And we'll get back to that when we get to the GAC stuff.
But, Abby, you understand I made two different points.
Yeah, I heard.
Okay.
Yeah, on the second one, you know, we need to think about whether that, again, here we're in a position where we had the first group making a certain set of recommendations that are the base, and we have the IDN group and the GAC group having made comments that we need to take into account. And then I guess as a third thing is new considerations that we want to bring into it. But those I think we have to be more careful with, because we are therefore then opening up the previous work that was done and reopening it for further, which we can do, but we need to do it more carefully, because rethinking things was not necessarily in the charter as I understood it, although responding to GAC and IDN was.
However, when we specified more work, and I was on this group, we understood that meant more work. And
yeah,
so,
I understood that too, but because I was on that group too, but I thought that had more of the work had to do with how, because we totally hand-waved about how the dispute mechanism would work.
Well, so I'm just going to say something about ICANN and the reality here and being pragmatic. This does not specifically mention, it mentions the advisory committees, so that would include the ALAC, but it doesn't take into account a broader community not involved who, and so let's use the well-worn and much-abused example of .bank or .finance. Generally, the companies who operate in the financial institutions or the accrediting bodies thereof are not part of ICANN. So I'm just saying, you know, however we want to document it, we just need to figure out how to accommodate.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's agreement or consensus that we need to accommodate the Banking Association of East Kansas or the Banking Association of Rome dot bank. I know that there are various people that believe that we should, but there's by no means consensus on that. So it's a place where we have to tread pretty carefully, because there's certain people that are adamant, because the second you say that an association has the right to dispute in this formal manner, you're basically saying that everything will be disputed. Because there's always some association somewhere who wasn't included, and then you're asking people to evaluate who's important enough or not. So, as I said, we don't have consensus on doing that. Where we did get agreement and consensus was the advisory committee doing it. And or the supporting organizations who can represent the industry. So the BC, you know, could certainly say, hey, wait a second, the banks are not in. And
actually, no, the BC could not. The BC could take it to the GNSO.
The GNSO.
Look.
And perhaps there's some extension in making it a supporting organization or its constituencies or something that opens it up a little but keeps it away from the place where we don't have consensus. And unfortunately, Victoria is not on the call, so I'm sort of speaking in her absence. But a strong objection to an individual association being able to say, sorry, we dispute it.
I'm not suggesting an individual association ought to be able to dispute it, but I don't think we're acting legitimately if we, recognizing the millions of people who don't even know who ICANN is. So I think we need to at least flag the question of what is the threshold needed beyond a ICANN insider, such as an advisory committee or a supporting organization?
Perhaps. I mean, certainly we need to have the discussion. I mean, I'm not disagreeing that we need to have the discussion. I wouldn't go so far as to say we're at the point yet where we're talking about what the thresholds would be, because we haven't even gotten to the point of talking about, you know, outside disputes in that case.
Right.
It's certainly a topic we need to have.
Okay, that's what I was asking for.
Okay, let me note that down under work to be done. Okay. So, session on dispute. I think that's about as unprejudicial as I could put it. Discussion on dispute by non-ICANN body. Okay, 2, in the event of such a dispute, applications for that label would be placed in a hold status that would allow, and this is getting into the flow, that would allow for the dispute to be further examined. If the dispute is dismissed or otherwise resolved favorably, the applications would re-enter the processing queue. The period of time allowed for dispute should be finite and should be relegated to our yet-to-be-defined external dispute resolution process. And this is the additional work that we need to do. The external dispute process should be defined to be objective, neutral, and transparent. The outcome of any dispute should not result in the development of new categories of reserve names.
Yeah, I want to ask a question about that. Yet at the same time, we acknowledge that it might, I don't know, develop in this kind of warning list.
Right, well, that's not a category of reserve name, though,
mm-hmm.
So I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't say it here, but nor is it precluded.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since that list, as I've heard it talked about always, is really just an advisory list.
Right.
It's saying, here's a list of names that have been disputed in the past, and, you know, unless you really want to get bogged down or have a really good reason, don't pick it. But, you know, it's not more than that, I would expect. To be, notwithstanding the outcome of any such dispute, national law must apply to all applicants within its jurisdiction and in cases where the process of international law allow enforcement of one nation's law on applicants from a different jurisdiction, those processes should apply, and that goes to the, you know, the dot Nazis and the Holocaust didn't happen when the EU says, of course you're not allowed to say that. 3, it is recommended that more work needs to be done in regards to dispute resolution processes, including minimizing the opportunity for such processes to be gamed or abused. Now, one of the things with 1 was that was trying to keep it from being gamed. And then 4, the process or lack thereof, described in 2, could also be applied to newer existing strings that fall under other reserve name categories, for example, the geographic and geopolitical names. Process may apply equally well to names at the second level. I don't think we should get into the second level at all. At this point, I mean, we're defining a process, but I don't think.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think about what else we go back to as a resource document, which, because I actually thought there had been something said somewhere else about. Controversial names are best dealt with by the registry operator at the second level, and I'm trying to think of where that discussion would have taken place, but we can kind of go back and look for it.
But anyhow, so, I mean, I don't see that as, well, it actually says it right here on second level in this recommendation. Processes, if any, to deal with controversial names at the second level should be left to the discretion of the GTLD registrar.
I'm reading
second level in the table on...
I wish we could get the caps and number these categories. So this is, I'm reading
the table that I've just been reading it. You go down to second level and third level.
Oh, I see.
Say,
yeah, we've got to get better formatting. Okay.
So.
So really, we could, based on that four above, which is, and we've got to get into numbering things, four above in the under the recommendations is actually linked to every second ASCII no and third ASCII no.
Right.
So, and they both say that we should leave it to the registry operator, subject to their needing to apply with local law, and that's the case. So basically, we can put that last sentence in square brackets, I think, right?
We can, although we might be defining a process that serves as a, you know, possible example process for registry operators, and we could make a recommendation or something in that. We could make a recommendation that, yes, of course, it's up to them. However, you know, the
other than sponsored GTLDs, so people go through an accreditation process where it's a first come, first serve to register a name. Unless the registry is data mining and pulling names out and warehousing them, they would have to have published a list that would have those names on it and announce what they were going to do with it. And that would turn those names into reserve names.
What I'm saying is, and this is probably going down a rat hole, is that a registry, let's say we did create a disputed names list, and a new registry could sort of say, and the process we're going to use is all the names on the disputed names list have to go through our committee for using a disputed name.
You're talking about at the second and third level.
At the second level, a registry could say that.
Yeah, but they would have to put that into their bid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, basically, we're saying we're leaving it up to them. So one of the things they could do is piggyback off of the disputed names list if they wanted to, if they were the family-friendly TLD.
The only problem I have with that is, I mean, okay, but it says no more work is needed on both of those.
Right, and we wouldn't be doing it. We would just be, basically, I think the comment that says the process may well apply is substantiated by what I said. But yeah, it may well apply, and here's one way they could use it. There's no work to be done now. I agree. Does that make sense? This is work that they would do. We're just saying that this may be useful recommendation to the GTLD that's trying to figure out what to do.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I don't want to go through all the content in the appendix, which was all the discussions, but I do recommend that we all reread it. Just for all the arguments and thoughts and discussions that went on before, because I think that those discussions have to constrain us to a certain extent. And if we go against what was decided before, then we have to be careful. But as I say, once we have all the members' discussion, I don't think we'll reach consensus on some things that, you know, would go against those agreements. Okay. Anything more to be said on going through the RM stuff? Then the next part would be the relevant parts of the GAC. And 2.1b seems relevant because it had religious in it. The sensitivities, including terms with national, cultural, geographic, and religious significance. So that one seems one. Do two is not really us, that's geographical.
Except that I thought we acknowledged that the process of resolving those disputes might use the same process.
It might. And that's why Mike Blaze, who's chair on the geographic, is going to be participating in this. And if in defining a process we can make it one that works just as well for them too, then we've done a good thing. And we should work with Mike to see if we can do that. 2-3 is the protecting the rights of others, relevant one, including names of intergovernmental organizations, so that's not us. And 2-4 is the confusingly similar, and that's, or two letters, so that one's not us. So, and under delegation of new ones, I don't think there's anything that is there anything in 2-7? The procedures for our government's public finance and NGOs to challenge abuses of names with National Geographic significance. No, that's second level anyway. Document support, also defensive resolution, cyber squatting in 2-9. 2-6 is good.
I was Aubrey. I just want to just stop you for just a tiny moment. So basically, 2-2 is where the GAC address is top level, and 2.7 is where the GAC address is second level on National Geographic, right? So it seems to be, so they actually have two principles.
Right, and one of them is under delegation, and one of them is under
evaluation.
Introduction,
yeah.
Right. Well, introduction, not introduction to the work, introduction.
Right. So one of them is an instruction to ICANN, and the other is kind of an instruction to ICANN to make sure the registries do something.
Right. So but in any case, I don't think it affects us in this report. So nothing in 2-9, 2-10. No, stability and security, best practices, integrity. Continuity plans for maintaining the resolution. 2-12. Appeals regarding price changes, renewal procedures, service levels, change contract conditions. 2-13, material changes. Nope. Yeah, CARIS principles are relevant to all new GTLDs. Sure. Now, 2-3-1, that's for the board to notify the GAC, provide guidance.
Why isn't, I was just wondering why, let's say hypothetically that Marilyn is a highly controversial name.
It could be in the same level as example at this point.
It could be. If the GAC protested the idea that they brought to the board's attention that this name is controversial for some reason, it would seem to me that one thing the board could do under 3.3 might be to say, well, we've got this super-duper expert set of panelists that we're going to consult with.
Yeah, now theoretically, the GAC could have, and this is something that the GAC, here the GAC is asking for what to do in the end game when they're going to the board.
Mm-hmm.
With what we're already discussing, the GAC is a government advisory committee, so it is an advisory committee, so even at the challenge process, they can challenge. Now, there's nothing, one of the things here, the discussion we had with the GAC, that the GAC does not need to do its challenge as a consensus. That the GAC can, and they said this a couple times, and I know that various people have been working on it, that there'll be actions the GAC can take as a GAC that aren't consensus positions, but basically something like, for example, expressing concern or requesting, now, this is where, okay, we set a consensus decision, and the GAC has every right to push back and say, hey, you want the people to tell us how we make decisions.
Yeah, the conversations I had with a number of the governments about this issue of challenge is that they may actually have no mechanism to participate in a challenge, but would have a mechanism to send a letter to the board saying don't do this, which, you know, my point to them in talking about it, the folks I was talking to about it, was that's unfortunate, because if you got into the challenge process, you might be able, in 60% of the cases, and I was thinking about geographic names largely, you might be able to resolve why it's okay to go ahead. But anyway.
I think that once there is a challenge process that's open to them, you know, they might be able to come up with a way to do it.
Mm.
I mean, they can evolve their principles. They've got a new active chair. I'm sure they can do it. But anyway, okay. Then I can't consult the GAC as appropriate regarding any question, regarding the interpretation. If individual GAC members or other governments express formal concerns about any issues related to new GOTDSB, the ICANN board should fully consider those concerns and clearly explain how it will address them. Now, again, that is not putting a requirement on the process, the challenge review process, dispute resolution process, but it is putting it on the ICANN board. And then evaluation procedures and criteria for introduction, delegation, operation, developed and implemented, participation of all stakeholders, which is possible, we're going to try to do. So I don't think that there are that many issues that we have to deal with in terms of the GAC, other than the one you mentioned, the one where we say it's consensus of the advisory committee. And, you know, one can argue that it's not for the GNSO policy recommendation to decide how another group makes its decision. And they did use the word express formal concerns. So they're not just talking about somebody saying, you know, I don't really like this one, but they're doing something and they're sending letters and they're doing whatever.
Mm.
So I think we already had the issue that needed to be worked on. It's discussion of GAC access to the challenge. Anything else that we need to bring out in the GAC write up at the moment? I mean, we can always go back to it. Not. Then moving on to the IDN one now. I had done a quick review of the GAC and other ones first, looking for things. I did not do it on IDN. I think, though, having been on the IDN working group, one of the biggest concerns is going to be how one brings in, and this is, again, in the challenge process, how one takes into account when you've got a challenge of an IDN, how do you bring in the language experts?
Mm-hmm.
Or the language community experts? I think that would probably be definitely one of the concerns that needs to be dealt with.
And assessing whether language experts are sufficient or there's some need for cultural expertise or, you know, technical expertise, if it needs to be a panel of five, three of one kind, one each of another, or something like that. Which sounds, though, that that's just a question of what are the ingredients we put into our soup today, as opposed to are we making soup?
Right, and if we do come up with a board that's similar to the RSAC,
mm-hmm.
You know, we could basically have both a cultural and a language expert from, you know, I don't know, end communities.
Well, or the ability on a, you know, you can't right, because you can't forecast necessarily what language is going to be applied for, right? So you'd need to be able to say, now we need a specialist in Tamil. We have 16 Chinese experts that we've identified, and 14 this kind, and 17 that kind, and 4,400 French speakers.
Does WIPO have
many language experts?
No. WIPO doesn't have any. That's exactly the point. With the panels, the way the R-STEP works, Tamara, are you familiar with how the R-STEP works?
I'm not.
There's a chair of the process, Lyman Chapin, who's highly technical, former board member, but he has a stable of participants who range in their technical skills and expertise. And based on the application from a registry, he assembles a panel with suitable skills to assess that technical application from a technical security and stability standpoint. It's a little different, but I think Avery and I were thinking that the framework might work, the concept might work. But, you know, so let's say you have an application you have an application for the same word that has linguistic characteristics and visual characteristics, but it's from different scripts.
Right.
You'd probably need script experts from both.
That is a tough issue.
But you might also need to know that 70% of one category of users of that script are actually online, and 5% of the other category are online, and, you know, factor into this the question of, are there other alternatives? And it's going to be very tough, I think.
Right. And I think, though, that it's something that, one, we can give a couple guidelines for. We can suggest that, you know, here's some of the characteristics that one would put into, you know, such a stable of experts. And, yes, it would be up to the chair and the staff to, you know, recruit the staff they needed. You know, and as IDNs come along, they'll come along slowly because only certain scripts will be, you know, supported as time goes on. So it's something that can be built up. The cultural ones might be more difficult, but I think we can sort of build this into the SPEW process and recommendations to ICANN on how to populate that particular stable. And I'd have to pick a very clever person to chair it. A very, the other definition of the word Catholic. Okay, I don't know if we need, it might be worth it, I don't know if we need to do it in this meeting, but if one of us, I can do it if no one else jumps up and volunteers, goes through the IDN report to pick out any other, because I had a chance to go through it on the IRN report and the GAC report. And that I did not have a chance to go through the IDN report and see what is relevant.
Would it be useful to send a question to Tina and to Carrie, our kind of our two kind of resident or Ram and Tina, and ask if they have any views as well?
It certainly wouldn't hurt. I mean, I still think that one of us needs to go through the...
No, I hear you. I was just trying to augment that.
Right. And it might be worth asking them after we've gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
If we've come up with any questions, we can do those.
Mm-hmm.
So go through IDN report, see what's relevant. Yeah, you know, find questions. Ask, you know, and Anybody else want to bring up anything else that they see already in the IDN that should concern us or is going through? I'll consider any name with multiple scripts in it controversial. But the IDN group allows that in some cases. Yeah. Okay. So, yes? Oh, I thought I heard tomorrow things. Sorry. Okay. Now, we've gone through the relevance. Now, the next thing had work methods and plan. We talked about work methods a little in terms of phone calls versus online work.
I mean, can we, you know, I know when I had that problem, Marilyn, that you outlined, I guess it was just due to, first of all, it was people in different countries or different time zones, but also just the online work without the phone calls to confirm.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? You and I probably exchanged, I don't know, 5 or 6 emails each eventually to get to the point that, oh, that was an easy misunderstanding to take care of.
Yeah. And, it does happen sometimes where it's like, you know, picking up the phone with a bunch of people would just really be a lot easier.
Guys, I'm going to get cut off by my hotel, and I'm probably not going to be able to dial back in, but maybe we could leave it.
Got to pick. Okay, we could schedule a meeting for 2 weeks and see where we're at and see what's worked. Is that okay?
Well, we have to do work in the meantime, don't we?
We have to do work in the meantime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I wanted to do was see, I've got... There's work on schedule that I have to do. There's discussion of things that we picked up today. Discussion on dispute by an ICANN body. Somebody's got to sort of frame that discussion and put it on the list so we can start having.
Well, do you want, hey, Tamara, can I enlist you and you and I can do, we can go look at our staff and you're not familiar with it. I'm a little familiar with it. That'll we can look at it together and see, kind of outline what we think the concepts are and put that out in writing.
That sounds good to me.
Would that be okay?
Sure.
And then if you want to send somebody else our way, but we could sort of analyze our step and say, is it an appropriate framework to cannibalize?
Right. What I'd like to suggest, I think it's a great idea, is that the two of you take lead responsibility for it, but do the discussion on the list. So that anyone else can chip in and
okay.
So do the discussion online on the list?
Yeah, so what we'd do is you and I could do a call, walk through it, and then start posting things on the list. So.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yep. Okay. So then we had the three, I'm working on the schedule. Discussion of dispute by 9 ICANN body. So I'll try and frame the questions that came up today and send them out each on a list.
Okay.
Get discussions going on them. Okay.
And that probably...
Hello? Did she just get cut off?
Maybe. Marilyn?
Yes, I think she got cut off.
Wow,
okay.
That was abrupt.
And I think the call is probably also, it was scheduled for an hour.
Okay, sorry. So,
when is the next meeting?
I'd like to do it in 2 weeks from today, so if we can.
That would be the 3rd of May?
3rd of May, if we
okay.
can find a time.
There's a meeting already at this time, which is, what time is it?
It's at 13.
So we could have it before?
Is that okay with everyone? Yep, it works for me.
Before would be 2 hours before, say, or 1 hour before? On the 3rd?
On the 3rd? So that's going to be into May 3rd?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's the day after May. Okay.
Sorry, my hotel in Geneva has a timeout.
Oh, we thought you disappeared and we were, because you had said you might not be able to get back.
No, the hotel... All these set you off after an hour.
Uh-huh. Okay, we were just trying to figure out a next meeting. We're talking about May 3rd. Now, there's already an RN meeting for 17 UTC or 13?
18 UTC.
Oh, 18
been moved, UTC. Yes, been moved later.
Oh, it's been moved
so
later.
So if we make it 16 UTC.
What day of the week is 5-3? Oh, it's Thursday,
today,
yeah.
17 UTC? Is this time 17 UTC that we started today?
No. We started 18. At 18 UTC.
18. And so you're talking about for the next one doing?
16 UTC, 2 hours earlier. So that if there's overlap, it doesn't go into the reserved names.
Or we could go to 3 hours earlier if people can handle it. I don't know if we have any Californians.
Okay.
Because that way we can schedule a two-hour call because there should be substance to try and work.
That would be fine for me. I mean, I'll be in Chicago, so.
Okay, so we'll make it 2 hours earlier.
No, 3 hours.
3 hours. So that would be 17, 16, 15.
15, right.
Okay.
Which would be 11 o'clock Eastern time. And, yeah, so 8 o'clock California time.
Okay, I'm okay with that, but that means that between we basically have to be done except for editing.
Right, we have to be, yeah, and we can do impromptu Skype calls and people talking and working online and collaborate. I mean, there's only four of us.
And I should point out, I'm going to be around next week, but then after that, I'm going to be in the Into Madness.
Right.
But we mostly have to be done.
Right, because we're going to have to give a readout to the Reserve Name Working Group.
Yeah. Basically, we should have most of the ducks, but not necessarily in a row, and then we have to finish the report the rest of that week.
Okay. But Tamara, you're not going to be when INTA is the 28th through the 4th.
INTA is basically the 28th to the 2nd.
Okay.
I'll be in Chicago through the 6th, really.
So you're not available the 3rd.
No, I am, but I'm just saying I'm not going to be very available.
Oh, I got it. Okay, right.
During INTA.
Okay.
So, and I will try to send out a bunch of emails over the next day.
Okay.
Just talking about the issues that came up and start getting the discussions rolling on the list.
Great.
And, you know, we can pull off an impromptu phone call. You know, Skype allows up to 10 people. So if we need to do something, we could do something.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else we want to cover before we disappear? I want to thank you guys for being here.
And we want to thank you for sharing.
Oh, thank you.
And Glenn, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn.
Thanks, Avery.
I am constantly amazed and want to applaud the fact that Glenn can keep all of our calls straight. Oh, my God. Talk to you all later.
Okay, talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.